Thank you, Lord. Well, last week we died a lot, so this week we're going to live. You know, on the second day, the third day, he rose again. And so I want to declare to you this morning, today is the day of resurrection. Today is the day of life and freedom. Today is the day that we break through the realm of glory and come to that place that where the reign of the Lord sustains us. There's something about the hungry heart and the dry places that God blesses. And I'm reminded that we continually come to that place before the Lord of presenting ourselves to God. You know, the scripture says that we present ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. And God honors the heart of a man or woman that comes and stands before him and cries out in the day of drought, in the days of lack, and that cries out and says, Lord, let there be more in my life. Let there be something greater happen for me than what I've known in the past. Because we're not a people that are destined to live in the past, are we? God has set before us not only a glorious day, but a glorious future. And we'll look at the book of Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, and I just want to release into our hearts this great refreshing thing that the Lord wants to give us today. Last week, on Sabbath day, I told you all about my encounters, howbeit how short they were, but I've often found that encounters don't have to be long to be significant. But it's even the brevity of God's meeting us that he creates the longevity of what we're to become. That's kind of good, isn't it? And the brevity of God's meeting, it creates a longevity in your spirit of what you become. Because every encounter with the Lord is transformational and changes us. There's something about that encounter that we can never be the same once it happens. And so this last Saturday, as I pressed into that encounter, it carried through not only the Sunday morning service. If you haven't listened to that, you need to listen to it. That needs to go up as one of the things that we just continually listen to. And I was so filled and energized on Sunday afternoon. Normally, Sunday afternoons are kind of a downtime for me because they say when you preach a sermon, it's like digging ditches all day long. And I don't go quite that extreme. I don't think it's quite that severe because I've dug some ditches before. But it does sometimes wear you out. But there was, instead of being worn out, I was energized. And 6:30 at night, I finally quit working. I actually scrubbed the garage down with soap and water, hosed it out, rearranged it, all that stuff, and I just couldn't stop. And that lasted until Tuesday night. And I kind of went back to normal, you know. And we were talking Friday night after the worship back in the fellowship hall, and a brother said that he just got back from Israel, that in the tradition of the Jewish people, how you encounter God on the Sabbath, which is a Saturday, will carry through to Tuesday night. So I just told others about that, then he told me that, and it was such a confirmation that every time there's that encounter that happens in your spirit, that anointing that comes from the Lord, there's something that carries you forth from that place. And as we understand this and press into it, the more we want to live there. How many would rather live in the house of the Lord than just visit occasionally? Well, the Lord's the same way. He wants us to be like that little sparrow that's on the altar, that's there in the house of the Lord, that never wants to leave his presence, to continue to abide in the presence of the Lord, because it's in the presence of the Lord that everything that happens is created. You know, the Garden of Eden was an illustration of that because the glory of God was over the garden. And there's where God performed his creation. He always creates from the glory. Everything that we become is from the glory. It's an extension of our life, the glory that we encounter in our life. And you may feel far away from the Lord this morning You may feel estranged, but I want to pray for you that by the time the service is over, that you're going to be drawn close to the Lord. You're going to be drawn close to the encounter that's transformational for your life. How many would agree with me today? Everybody say, we want an encounter. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, and let's look in verse 6. Of course, this is not a Christmas message. May it seem that way. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Everybody say he's been born and he's been given. See, Christ came into the world to be something to us. The purpose of his birth was to bring us to the Father, to connect us to the Godhead. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's the thing about the kingdom. The kingdom of God has no ending. It only has the ability to expand, to become greater. And as we look in the world and we see all the devastations of the world, the darkness that's in the world, we understand that there's a light in the midst of that darkness. His name is Jesus. That there's a light that will overcome the darkness. The news is that we do not have to fear what's going to happen in the scene around us. We don't have to be anxious because the kingdom of God that's within us will triumph over every situation. The kingdom of God that he's birthing in the midst of us will become the only kingdom that will survive, the only kingdom that will be here for eternity. There'll be no end to it. Then this is the key verse. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform it. Amen. See, in the kingdom of God that has no end, that's established upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, literally means that I'm building a kingdom around the attitude of this man's heart. See, everything that we become has a root position in our heart. Whatever our heart is what we manifest and what we reveal. For it says, out of the issues of the heart, out of the heart comes the issues of life. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when the Lord looks upon his kingdom, he doesn't look upon a physical structure known as a church. He doesn't look upon a societal structure. He looks upon the intents of the heart because that's where he establishes himself. I've often said the Lord dwells in two places. He dwells in the high, in the mighty places, and he also dwells in the heart of a broken and a contrite man. That's where the Lord rules. That's where he reigns. His rule and his lordship are established in the depth of who you are and what you reveal. It's not in the force of your lungs. It's not in the enforcement of your laws or the enforcement of anything that man would bring, but it's the principle of the unity of the heart that God has established between him and you. Amen? So we have the illustration of David. David was called a man after God's own heart. But that same lineage brought forth a son, this wonderful Prince of Peace, this wonderful Counselor, this Jesus. That same lineage of David brought forth a son to reign upon the throne forever. Amen. And the good news is you get to rule and reign with him. How do you like that? Right? Isn't it neat to have a God that has reached his high pinnacle, yet he chooses not to live there by himself? He chooses to live there with you. Amen? Wow. We have a God that's not separated from us by time or distance or by position, but he's chosen to come to you, to make sure that you are with him and that you rule and reign with him forever. See, the Lord was so focused. The thing that's beautiful about Christ was that once he understood and grasped what the will of God was, he never deviated from the pursuit of it. God will always reveal his will to you for the purpose to show you that if you follow his will, your life will be ordered by his Spirit, and your steps will be ordered by the Lord, and that your life will become what God intended it to become. So the first thing we pray, like Christ prayed, oh God, let not my will be done, but let yours be done in my life. There's something about the subjecting yourself to the will of another that literally gives you freedom. Because as long as you're trying to establish your own throne, your own position, or your own place, it's always a struggle, isn't it? Because the higher you try to climb the ladder, the more difficult it is to remain on top of it. It's only in Christ that he brings you up to this place. He brings you to this place of rule, his kingdom, and he brings you to this place of peace. Did you know that the opposite of peace is confusion? The opposite of rest is mental instability. How many have ever been accused before of being a little crazy, right? Okay, all right. Because when the Lord comes, he takes away all that instability out of your life. He takes away all that thing that's in you that is so confused. Because there is no confusion, nor deviation, nor turning in the Lord. There's something solid in him that you base your life, you stand upon. Upon Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Remember the old song? Yep. Upon Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So I stand in my position with the Lord. And like Christ, I focus myself for the purpose of God, and I focus myself to be found in the image of who he is, in the attitude of who he is. You know, Jesus went through the temptation, and there were three major temptations in the wilderness. But each one he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Another he said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He was so set on the fulfillment of the destiny of the Father in his life that nothing could deter his march, his destiny to become what God told him to be. See, if we set our hearts, it's amazing how that we can set our hearts to not choose our own way and set our hearts to keep our hearts set before the Lord. So literally nothing can stop us if you do that. If you set yourself and you refuse to be budged, you cannot be stopped by the enemy. The wicked one toucheth me not. I don't have to grow weary in well-doing. I don't have to become dismayed over the passage of time because of unrequited promises. But I keep standing in the place that I know that he that seeks him will find him. I can't stand in the place that the Lord said that if we pursue the Lord, we'll come to the knowledge of our God. Amen? Wow. The Lord never stops. And because he never stops, I never stop. See, the Lord honors a pure heart. The Lord is going all throughout the earth looking for hearts that are pure. People that have set themselves for his kingdom. Because the highest place you can dwell in is the place of humility. The highest rulership and authority that you possess is literally encapsulated in the humility that's displayed in your heart. For when you yield, when you are broken, and when you are humble, then you only then do you allow the Lord to inhabit that place that he desires to habit it within you. Because it's in the brokenness and the humility and the yielding of the human heart that God's throne can be established within the heart of a man or a woman. Amen? So when things come against us, we think, well, we're not going to move. We're like a tree planted by the water. We know the source of our supply. We know that it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord. That the Spirit of the Lord, the zeal of the host of the Lord, will perform this within our life. This is what we seek, this kingdom that has no end. This is what we cry out for, this counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace. Amen? Do we like it? Amen. You see, we have authority. We have authority in the name of Jesus over our mind, over our will, and over our emotions. When you feel like you're going through these things that, and you're being tossed every direction by your own emotional responses, remember you have the authority over it. Amen? When you find your mind straying to the things that shouldn't be straying to, remember in Jesus' name you have the authority over your own mind. You have the ability to bring your own self into subjection to his lordship. Self, straighten up. I command you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have the ability to bring everything into focus for my pursuit and not be turned aside to any direction. Boy, we have a lot of turning aside in this hour, don't we? Because there's so many things to turn to. But when we turn to the Lord, amen, we turn to the Lord that in every aspect, then we can literally begin to believe and contend that God will give us an emotional tranquility and peace that's beyond description. He said, let the peace of God rule and guard your heart. Amen? Yes. Wow. You know, when you walk in this, that next phone call you get that would have normally just made you bounce off the walls, you'll just say, thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. That next confrontation you have with someone that's become an adversary instead of a friend, you'll just be able to say, I bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen. That next time that someone offends you and purposely even comes against you, you can just say, I love you in the name of the Lord. Because there's something about the mind and the heart and the will that's been subjected to the lordship of Christ that literally bursts into a sea of tranquility. The peace of God will rule and guard your heart. That's the place that when no weapon comes against us will prosper. When there's a realization of your connection to the throne of God and the authority of God in your life. Amen? So Lord, help us to find a retreat in you. Let's just go to the Lord and have a retreat. Some of you say, man, I could have a retreat. Well, you got it. You don't even have to pay for it. You don't have to drive to seek it. Oh, let's go up to Jerusalem. Let's go have a retreat in Jerusalem. No, let's just go to the Lord. I mean, I like to go to Jerusalem, right? But that's not why I'm going to Jerusalem. Someone say, well, when you went to Jerusalem, did it change your life? No. My life was changed when I met Jesus. I didn't have to go to Jerusalem to meet Jesus. Now, it enhanced my life. It blessed my life. It blessed my socks off. But it didn't transform my life, because there's only one thing that can transform me, and that's him. Yes. Amen? Well, I went to this conference, and boy, it changed my life. No, it didn't. Jesus, it changed your life. I went to church Sunday morning and just being there changed my life. Well, if you met him, it did. Because if you met him, it's so deep and so rich and so pure. But if you didn't really meet him, it's a shallow thing that will not last. But God wants to dig down to the depths of our hearts. Amen? And bring us to that place of refuge, to that safe place, that safe harbor. You know, a lot of people in this hour are looking for safe places. And bless their heart, they can't find it. You go from safe place to safe place, and you need another safe place to deliver you from the last safe place. But the only safe place is in Him. In Him. That's where I found my place. That's where I found my peace. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. So there's something that happens in that birthing, that when I plant myself, when I literally choose to become the seed that's planted in the will of God, when I choose to not allow the things of what people would say, what people would do, when I refuse to allow the circumstances of life to be the influence of my life, then I begin to walk in the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Amen. See, the Lord said in the midst of the storm, what did He say to it? Peace. Be still. What's your storm? What hurricane did you come out of? Are you going through right now? Peace, be still, and know that I am the God of Israel. Amen? It's like that old thing that, why do we worry about anything when we have Him? Why worry? Don't the birds of the air have nests? Amen? Do the foxes have their holes? They found theirs under my shed back in my house. Foxes, one thing about a fox is that they have no fear. At least they don't fear me. We're back on the back deck and they come walking out from underneath the deck and stand there and look at you. Hello, fox. Because they're dwelling. They're in a place of dwelling. There's no fear in them. They wouldn't have to fear me because I'm not going to harm them. Because I'm not going to try to catch one. Right? They don't fear me. And that's the way that we as the believer, when we're in the Lord, it's like we're in the place that nothing touches us, that upsets us or destroys the peace that God has put within us. Lord, let us say to the storms in our life, peace be still. Let's say to the conflict of our own heart, stop it. Shut up. The Lord reigns in me. Amen? Amen? Wow. Woo. So the Lord said, you might not alter your circumstance, but you can alter who you are in the midst of it. We've heard that many times, haven't we? That we can become the Isle of Tranquility in the midst of storms. And that we, once we become that, then we release that to others. Because we, as the scripture says, we become the peacemakers of God. A peacemaker is able to go in the midst of conflict and speak to it and stop it. He's able to come and reconcile two things that are separated and divided and speak to them, to both sides, to bring peace. See, because peace and rest are so synonymous together that when we walk in peace, we also walk in a place of rest. Jesus said in Matthew, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle. I'm lowly in heart. Wow. Then you will find rest for your souls. Amen. Think about the Lord this morning, how gentle He is, how kind He is, how lowly He is. We were talking the other day about how that a lot of people see the Lord as a lion. Others see the Lord as a lamb. And He's both. And the lamb is the foundation for the throneship of the lionship. Because the authority can only be established and maintained from the proper positioning of the lamb. Because the lamb came to give Himself as a sacrifice. The Lamb has no defense within himself. He's a creature that has no ability to defend himself. He's at the mercy of everything. Yet then you look at the lion, the opposite. The lion is vicious and strong, powerful, can devour things that are before him. Yet how could God both be that and be this? But that's who he is. And that's who you are. Because as you come before the Lord and identify with this Lamb of God, there's something in you that's birthed that's so strong and mighty. There's something in you that's so ability to conquer now. But it'll never be done out of your own effort or your own strength. It'll never be done because of your own initiative. It'll be done because of that connection you have with the Lamb of God. Because it's in the birthplace of the heart of God that God births his authority through you. That literally you can declare and proclaim a kingdom upon the earth. Literally you can become the co-creator with God to speak to the earth, to speak to the waves, to speak to the oceans, to speak to the enemies, to speak to the principalities and powers, and to speak to humanity. You can speak as a lamb that is a lion, and declare the will of God upon the earth. But the baseline is always the base of your heart. I got before the Lord this morning and I just said, Lord, this is your heart. This is your life. And every time I do that, I come up off the floor with this great awareness of who he is and this confidence that comes from knowing him. Amen? Amen. Psalms 29 says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I will both lie down in peace and sleep with you alone, O Lord. Make me dwell in safety. In Psalms, it says, 119, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Amen. Proverbs says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. But the scripture also says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and is peace. Lord, help us in this hour that we just keep turning our minds to you. That our minds are stayed upon Jesus. For it says that in that attitude we could be anxious for nothing, and because everything in by prayer and supplication, let our requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Thessalonians says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, every way. The Lord be with you all. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you my soul, which you have redeemed. The Lord who will redeem your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and with tender mercies. To them, God, to make known what the riches of this glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, in the book of Genesis, it said that on the seventh day, God rested. And the significance of that is that what we commonly acknowledge is the day of the kingdom. See, when the kingdom comes upon the earth, fully manifested, it'll be a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Wow. Isn't it amazing how it talks about in Hebrews how we labor to enter in to the rest? That puts the value of rest so greatly. We should cherish rest so much that we're willing to labor to get it. We should so contend for the peace of God that we should literally engage our faith to have it. We should fight for the peace, fight for the rest. Amen? Well, that goes contrary, doesn't it? Why do we fight for something that's so blessed But there's something about us that we must hear. It says we've got to hear the word and mix it with faith so that it'll manifest within our life. If all of this stuff that God has promised us is so great, if it's so wonderful, if it's so blessed and so promising, we must believe it. And then we've got to receive it. Amen? We've got to contend for it until it manifested in our life. Amen? A lot of people in this life, they work 30, 40 years, and their goal is to retire. Because retirement denotes peace, doesn't it? No longer do we have to listen to the boss. No longer do we have to drive the streets during the rush hour traffic. No longer do we have to keep doing this and that in order to try to prove ourselves to keep up with the Joneses, because now we're so old we don't care. Right? But that's the human nature. It keeps striving for this place. Finally, Mama, we can retire and we can get our fifth wheel trailer and we can travel the United States. Now we really got to go to work. Yeah, I had them trailers one time. That's a lot of work. Yeah, more work than a hotel. You know, crank the thing up, do this, change the tires. I mean, it's too much. I just get in the hotel now. But that's the human nature. We just want to get to that place where we can finally retire. But see, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's something greater than that in the spirit. Because we can press into a place, even in the midst of our everyday work, and all the things we've got going around us, we can live in the midst of peace and rest that passeth all understanding. Amen? That's the greatest retirement of all, isn't it? Pressing into the seventh day, pressing into where we cease from our own labors, that everything that emanates from us now comes by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? That's what we press for, don't we? The Lord is good. How many say the Lord is good? Say his mercy endures forever. Say, I will not be discouraged, nor will I pull back in the day of battle. But when the battle gets tough, I'm going to get tougher. When things get harder, I'm going to persevere more. I'm going to press in. I'm going to seek until I break through into the rest of the Lord. Amen? The Lord is good. Adam and Eve fell from grace. Remember their story, don't you? That because of their sin. What happened when we become disobedient? When we become a people that let ourselves be separated from the Lord through sin, through disobedience, through passivity, we literally cut ourselves off from the life-changing spirit that God wants to give us. See, judgment is not something that God initiates to us. It's something we initiate ourselves. It's not that God chooses for us to be judged or chooses us to perish, but that's our choice, isn't it? Because when we back away from the Lord, when we back away from that anointing, we cut themselves off from the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden, a revelation comes to us that we're naked. A revelation comes to us that we're inadequate to be able to accomplish or do anything that God wants us to do. It's only in our clinging and being enabled by the Spirit that we'll feel that assurance that comes from the Lord. Amen? How many want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Filled with anticipation, filled with this excitement that this is the hour that the Lord is about to do something in the midst of us. Amen. And you look at men such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and David. They lived a great victory, but they didn't really have what we've got. They were at a disadvantage because God has chosen through Christ to enable us now to come into this perpetual abiding presence of the Lord. I don't have to go find a tent of meeting because that tent of meeting is in me right now. Hallelujah. I could just find him right now. Just close your eyes. Come, Lord Jesus. You have the ability to walk right now in the presence of the Lord. When peace is no longer with you, it's simply an indication there's an absence of the anointing. When joy is not with you, there's simply an indication there's an absence of the anointing. Why do we spend all this time sowing to the flesh, knowing that the flesh will never produce what we seek? Why do we spend all this time giving to something that produces no fruit? Only we could give our hearts to Him. Because the more we move in the Spirit, the more we lock in our vision, we cannot be deterred by anything. I found myself recently dropping my vision a little bit. It doesn't take a lot. You just drop your vision a little bit. You just drop what you know a little bit, and all of a sudden, everything begins to flood in. So the Lord gets a hold of me and says, come on, you got to look back up here. Amen? Don't keep looking down there. Don't keep looking around here. Start looking up here again. This is where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord. Amen? How many have ever had that happen to you? We just drop our vision just a little bit, and everything gets magnified out of context of what it really means. But when we lift our vision and we come back to the tent of meeting, then the Lord begins to magnify all that He wants to be in us. It totally changes our life. Lord, help us in this hour to keep pressing in. Press into something greater than ourselves. Press into this place of restoration and fulfillment in our life. Let's be diligent to go to that place where there remains a rest for the people of God. See, religious activity is no substitute for the Spirit, for the calm, for the peace, the joy, for this place of abiding. Nothing that we do in the flesh will get us there. But by His Spirit, we'll make it. By Spirit, it'll happen for you and I. True faith has no futility attached to it. True faith has no baggage that goes along with it. No grunt power nor willpower of man is accomplished apart from true faith. True faith will call those things as not as though they were. True faith will create a place in you that stands and will not move away from what God calls you to be. Lord, give us that true faith. Give us a faith that's abiding. Give us a faith that when the winds come, the storms come, the afflictions come, the trials come, when the accusers come, when the persecutors come, amidst of all of that, Lord, let there be a faith that keeps us strong on the water. We will not drown. Lord, let there be something in us that's so strong that we know that the Christ within us cannot be destroyed. In fact, the very opposite is true. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil that would try to impose upon us. Lord, let us step into rest. Let us step out of fear. Lord, let us step out of futility and step into peace. Lord, let us step out of anxiety and unrest and frustration and fear. Let us come out of that place and come into that place that's only You dwell, that's only You inhabit. Amen? Let's come to that place with the Lord. Wow. You know, I've learned one thing, too, before I quit. When the trial comes, when the battles loom, when the pressure's great upon you, remember the only thing you have to do in the midst of that is just hold on to the one who called you. Don't make a decision. I always say the greater the pressure, the more time you should make in the decisions that you make. Because oftentimes when pressure comes and decisions are forced upon us, they're often the wrong decisions. Amen? Because every decision must be subjected and put under the microscope or the examining heart of God, so that we do not make a decision based upon pressure. That we do not let the onslaught of the enemy that comes against us cause us to make decisions that are opposite of the will of God in our life. The onslaught can become so great that if we try to fight him in the flesh, he'll mop the floor with us. Amen? The minute you open and let the penetration into your flesh come through the adversity that you face, the more chances are that you're going to make a mistake that'll cost the destruction for your life. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So when it comes against you, just stand. Say, I'm not going to be moved. Mm-mm. I'm not going to budge. Nope. I'm not going to walk in fear. No. I'm not going to have unbelief all of a sudden. After all these years of faith, now I choose unbelief. No way. I'm standing in the presence of the Lord. And God has become my defense and my strength and my shield. He's become my high tower. He's become my wonderful, mighty counselor. In the midst of all these things, the kingdom of God will triumph in the midst of thee. Lord, our hearts are right with you this morning. Lord, our hearts come to cease from our labor and our strife. We come, Lord, to cast all of our cares upon you, for you careth for our soul. Hallelujah. Oh, let the lion roar. Amen. Let the lion roar this morning out of our hearts. Let the strength of God be manifested through us, through the sacrifice of the Lamb and the attitude of the Lamb's heart. Amen. Lord, set us on this high place. Pray this morning, Lord, if you're down below the high place this morning, pray, Lord, that once again you be set. You be set on a high place. You be set back on the hill. You be set back on the place that God called you to. That you be lifted up, that now all of a sudden your ears are going to begin to hear again. Amen? Your mouth is going to begin to speak again. What saith the Lord? You're going to come to that place where there's nothing in you that can be diverted from the purpose and the plan that God called you to in Jesus' name. Lord, lead us to this place. Lead us up to this high hill, this Mount Zion, this place of rest and this place of peace where there's an abiding glory waiting for us. Let us go hungrily to that place this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Woo. We're leaning on the everlasting arms. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thank you, Lord. Just stand up with me this morning. Wow. Everybody say good stuff. You can't lose with the stuff we use, can you? Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord with me. Amen. Father, we just lay hold this morning that you are the wonderful God, the counselor, the mighty Prince of Peace. You are a Savior that's been given to us. And it's through our connection with you and through our love for you and our oneness with you and the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. It's through all that, Lord, that we become strong this morning, that we become immovable. We're always abounding in the work of the Lord. That out of us, Lord, emanates this presence of peace and rest and joy and righteousness to the earth. Lord, we receive this, Father. We receive all that you give to us today. In Jesus' name.